The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Well, it's fascinating. We haven't seen this as a major story. Well, no, it's not. It's not surprising at all. Moments ago, in fact, during that last commercial break, came across an internationally peer-reviewed study reported in Newsweek magazine about the efficacy of lockdowns as opposed to countries and cities that have not locked down. It's a peer-reviewed study. Newsweek reported it on January 5th, and I can't believe this isn't everywhere. The study examined, let me quote just a little bit. The study examined virus cases in countries that use non-pharmaceutical interventions. You know what that means? Lockdowns. Non-pharmaceutical interventions. That's the technical term for a lockdown. It's not medicine, it's non-pharmaceutical. It's a lockdown. And they compared the countries that locked down to those who did not. Researchers examined cases from England, France, Germany, Iran, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain, and the United States. All of those countries imposed lockdowns. Then they looked at two countries that did not, South Korea and Sweden. The social distancing, the wearing of masks and so forth, was purely voluntary, not mandatory at all. So in other words, they looked at the difference between countries that made lockdowns, mask mandates, and so forth mandatory, and the countries that simply said, you know, this would probably be good, but we're trusting you. According to their analysis, and again, this is a peer-reviewed study, quote, there is no evidence that more restrictive non-pharmaceutical interventions or lockdowns contributed substantially to bending the curve of new cases in countries that impose lockdowns. While lockdown policies may provide some benefits that voluntary measures do not, the study found that these benefits are not significantly better, and the harms imposed by lockdowns, including hunger, opioid-related overdoses, missed vaccinations, increase in non-COVID diseases from mixed health services, domestic abuse, mental health, and suicide, as well as a host of economic consequences with health implications. While the study found, and again I'm quoting, no evidence of large anti-contagion effects from mandatory stay-at-home and business closure policies. The authors acknowledged that cross-country comparisons are difficult because nations have different rules, cultures, and relationships between the government and the citizenry. Additionally, some countries are better at providing coronavirus data than others. The study relied on confirmed case counts for its analysis, which can be a noisy measure of disease transmissions. Given these limitations, the researchers could not conclusively declare that lockdown policies had no benefits. However, even if they exist, these benefits may not match the numerous harms of these aggressive measures. More targeted public health interventions that more effectively reduce transmission may be important for future epidemic control without the harms of highly restrictive measures. So here's a multinational peer-reviewed study that says there is no real proof that the lockdowns and the mandatory mask mandates do anything. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And by the way, again, you know I'm not into conspiracies. And I'm just talking out loud. We are seeing an unbelievably dramatic drop this year in the flu. I don't have the statistics in front of me. I did several days ago, and I just didn't get to them. But in some states here in the United States, some states are showing a decline of 90% or more of the flu. In other words, in several states, there's no flu. Nobody's getting the flu. Last year, thousands and thousands and thousands of people died from the flu. And this year, it just, strangely and miraculously, the flu just went away. Just there is no flu. Now, the reason for that, I honestly don't know. I could guess, and I have some guesses, but I just find it really strange that the flu has just strangely disappeared. Let me just make this clear. It is not my desire to be a contrarian. Seriously, that is not my desire. But I have, if you're a regular listener, you know from the very beginning of this thing, all the way back in March, I have just been suspicious about a lot of things. And I think the thing that troubles me more than anything else, the experts have been wrong in the overwhelming majority of the times. Think back to when this originally began. When this originally began here in the state of Ohio, Amy Acton was so prominent and prevalent, and she put together all the predictions and the projections, and we were going to have 100,000 new cases every day. Remember that? Do you remember that? 100,000 new cases a day. Well, we never, I mean, we've gotten up to what? 12,000, I think. We've, even in the worst of it, we've never even gotten close to that. And then we were going to flatten the curve. And by April or May, this thing was going to be done and finished. That's what all the experts were saying. Look at the charts. Look at the projections. None of them have been accurate. Then we were told by the governor, and again, I'm not trying to bang on the governor, but this is what he said over 3 months ago in justifying the mask mandate. I mean, hey, listen, if you're going to do something as drastic as mandating masks for every citizen in the entire state of Ohio, you better have some justification for it. And so he gave a major speech, and he said, if everyone would just wear masks, we could knock this thing down in just a few weeks. If I remember correctly, I think he said 3 weeks, but I'm not positive on that. But he did say, if everybody would just wear masks, we could knock this thing down in just a few weeks. what has happened since the mask mandate went into effect. A huge spike, a huge surge, and we are still in the middle of it. So the bottom line for me, I am grateful the vaccine is here. I really am. I am very grateful for the vaccine. And as I told you, we have an enormous amount of trust in our personal physician. He has said, take it. That's the best authority we know. So when it's available, it's not available for us yet. When it's available, we'll take it. But other than that, this virus is going to do what it's going to do. Common sense tells you the cities and the states that have been the most aggressive in the lockdowns and the mask mandates have had the most serious surges. Counterintuitive. I think a year, 2 years from now, we're going to learn so much about this, and we're going to learn an awful lot of mistakes were made. But, obviously, hindsight is 2020. All right, quick break. We'll be back.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we got strange people, strange happenings all over. Do you remember? It's been a few years ago. There were two or three well-known pastors, one in Seattle. And where was the other one? They were known as the cussing pastors. Remember that? The guy in Seattle, he was quite proud of the fact that he was called the cussing pastor. He would get in the pulpit and let loose the profanities because he thought, I'm really identifying with my people. I'm getting down on their level. So he would cuss in the pulpit just to be cool. Well, it wasn't too long after he became famous for being the cussing pastor that he was enveloped in scandal and was forced to leave the church and the pulpit and so forth. The other guy just kind of faded away. I haven't heard anything about him, and I think that's probably a good thing. But then we've got this guy, Reverend Bob Rogers, who is the senior pastor of the Evangel World Prayer Center in Louisville, Kentucky. I never heard of it. Never heard of the Evangel World Prayer Center, although they claim 9,000 members, so a pretty big church down in Louisville. And maybe you've heard of him. I don't know. Well, he has become kind of famous for statements that he made from his pulpit last Sunday. Here is what he prayed, at least in part, this last Sunday. Father, those who have lied, those that have stolen this election, those that have cheated, I place the curse of God upon them. I curse you with weakness in your body. I curse you with poverty. I curse you with the worst year you've ever had in the name of our Lord. And after his prayer of cursing anybody who was involved in the election, that stole the election, in his opinion, afterward, he said this: I had an angel come to me and tell me that Trump was going to be the next president. And to be honest, he probably had the biggest landslide victory in the history of America, but that doesn't mean we are wrong. It means it isn't over yet. So an angel came to him and said, Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. Now, the prayer that he prayed would be called an imprecatory prayer. Technical term, but many of David's prayers in the Psalms are imprecatory prayers. David would pray that his enemies would be cursed, that their thighs would be ripped from their joints. And David prayed some pretty strong things about his enemies in the Old Testament. And they are called imprecatory prayers or imprecatory psalms. Well, this pastor down in Kentucky believes that it is still okay to pray imprecatory prayers. Here's the problem. Those were in the Old Testament. We don't live in the Old Testament. I think it would be very wise for this pastor to read the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus told us, his followers, how we're to handle people who persecute us, people who consider us their enemies, and even people that we consider to be our enemies. Jesus did not tell us to curse them. He told us to love them. He told us to pray for them. He even told us to give them a cup of cold water in his name. Sometimes I'm absolutely amazed at the shallowness of a lot of people in ministry who just simply don't have a grasp on the real theology of the Word of God. And I'm also continually amazed. You and I talk often. In fact, we did yesterday about the two kingdoms. The physical material kingdom that all of us are a part of, and the heavenly kingdom that I hope you are a part of. It's the kingdom of Christ, and you become a part of that kingdom when you accept Christ as Savior and you are born again. When you enter into that kingdom, that heavenly kingdom, you can still be concerned about the material, physical, and even political kingdom, and you should be concerned. But the way you interact, even with the physical, material, and political kingdom, is controlled by the heavenly kingdom. Jesus has made it very, very clear how we are to treat those who persecute us, hate us, want to destroy us. Yeah, Jesus made it really, really clear. All right. We'll be back.